Crowder's in Utah for the X Games. And Solana is at home in Kendall. You know more about soccer than we do. I know, obviously, long shot to think that Inter Miami would beat PSG. Why is that? Is that just because and I understand how good PSG is, but is it just because they are stacked from head to toe and Inter Miami would just need a miracle from Messi and Suarez?
It's not just a miracle. Like when you're a team this outmatched, right? What you typically do, because Inter Miami can't go toe to toe. They can't go out and try to attack against PSG. They don't have the players. And for anybody who doesn't know, PSG just won the Champions League for the first time in the history of their club. And they had Kylian Mbappe, who is, you know, right now, a lot of people consider him the greatest player in the world currently. And, you know, some people might say he's not, but he plays for the French national team. He's one of the highest paid players in the world. And he was playing in PSG. And it was a big deal, right? He's French. He's playing for the biggest club in France. And he couldn't get them over the mountaintop. They had Messi. He couldn't win a Champions League there. They've had great players come through. Ronaldinho in the past. Neymar was playing there. One of the largest contracts ever. He couldn't win the Champions League there. And they finally got over the hump. They beat Inter Milan 5-0. It's the largest margin of victory in the history of a Champions League final. They dominated. And the teams they had to beat to get there, it was an impressive resume. This team is outstanding. They could be one of the greatest club teams as constructed right now in the last decade. So it's not just beating a European powerhouse. It's probably beating the best team in the world in the past decade in their prime in a knockout game. Even as great as Inter Miami has looked at times, I mean, you're asking a lot from a team with four superstars at the end of their career.
Inter Miami really should have longer odds than plus 1,100. That's the Messi effect. From the way you're laying it out, like if Leo Messi wasn't on Inter Miami, they wouldn't be in the tournament if he wasn't, but if Leo Messi wasn't on Inter Miami, this is plus 3,000 on an MLS side.
Yeah, I just think because it's soccer, things happen, right? Like what I was going to say was the path to victory here is defend. Defend your life away, and they call it parking the bus, and try to have Messi, Suarez brilliance on counterattacks or on set pieces, corner kicks and free kicks. Inter Miami can play that game, but defensively, they're not great. That's where they're most vulnerable in the back. So, I mean, you are really, really asking for 90 minutes of perfect defense from a team who's vulnerable, who doesn't have great defenders.
Where is this game, by the way? Is it in
Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yeah.
Can they like, you know, spice it up a little bit? Like I watched the little Giants beat the Cowboys with the fumble Ruski, or maybe the flying V off Mighty Ducks. Just
razzle-dazzle. Razzle-dazzle.
Yeah. They can try the hook and ladder play, of course. That is very, very popular in soccer. Absolutely. They could do a host of things, Crowder. They can try the soccer Ruski, obviously. They can also just have their goalkeeper. They can have two goalkeepers. Why don't they try doing that? Two goalkeepers.
The great Kabuki used to blow powder into his opponent's eyes. Could they do that, maybe? Messi's got the ball, and he blows powder, great Kabuki style, into PSG's faces, and they don't know what's happened until he's scored.
I believe they'd have a better chance ingesting some sort of powder.
Anybody can take a flyer on Inter Miami with me? I feel like taking a flyer at plus 1,100.
I'll do it. I'll do it. Because I know
noon, is that a noon match on Sunday?
Noon or 2 p.m.?
It says noon on the Hard Rock app, but I'm not sure it's correct.
How does your mind work? Solana just said it's one of the best constructed teams in the history of soccer, and now we're taking a flyer.
Not the history, but certainly in the past decade. I think it's worth taking a flyer because crazier things have happened. And
this is the team of destiny. Inter Miami wasn't even supposed to get out of their group. This is a team of destiny, Crowder.
The big Kabuki.
I don't know if they're the team of destiny, but in soccer, weird things happen. Like you see this where a team will defend their life away, and they maybe get a penalty early in the game, right? Like,
doesn't this mean a hell of a lot more to Inter Miami than it does PSG?
No, because PSG can't lose to Inter Miami. It's Leo Messi going up against his former club in Paris Saint-Germain, where he did not have a ton of success, and now they're the big dogs. They got over the mountaintop. They did what Messi couldn't. They know Messi wants to win this game for PSG. They can get bounced by Juventus. They can get bounced by Real Madrid, Man City. They can get bounced by even Botafogo, Palmeiras, right? Like a worthy South American opponent in their eyes. They cannot lose to an MLS team, and specifically Inter Miami, MLS's Messi team. They cannot. That's how all these European clubs are approaching any game against Inter Miami.
This was the Jeremy Lin game for LeBron and D Wade, where they said, it ain't happening against us.
Enough is enough. Exactly.
Right, I'm putting a lot of money on Inter Miami. I like the way this is shaping up. Let's get headlines, because I want to get to this Randy Moeller story, and I wanted to do it at the 3 o'clock hour, and we never got there, and I don't want to run out of time. Headlines brought to you by Durell Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Durell Hyundai.
This might be my favorite text in show history. Benjamin Kramaski, tush push, automatic.
We go.
Let's go.
Ben, you gotta break out the razzle dazzle.
I'm gonna have to do something, hell.
And just to give you one more quick note here, just to give you an idea, there was two other MLS teams. The Seattle Sounders lost all three games in Group B. To be fair, they were in the group of death. Botafogo, PSG, and Atletico Madrid. Unfair that they're even in all three of those teams in a group together. And then LAFC had one draw and two losses. So outside of Inter Miami, teams went 0-1-5 in group play. Inter Miami went 1 win, 2 draws, 0 losses. That in itself.
Already
show you,
they're playing with house money.
Correct.
Gotcha.
And then if they do, by some miracle, get out of the group, win this game by some miracle. I mean, you go look at the teams that are on their side of the bracket, and on the other side, like they're literally going to have to go through European powerhouse the rest of the way. So it would
love it.
Hawk, if they really are the team of destiny and they by some miracle win this tournament, again, it's not going to happen. But if by some miracle they do, it would be without a doubt the greatest underdog story in the history of sports winning a
more
title.
Than Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson.
Not familiar, but yes.
You sound like you have no gut, Solana.
Can you imagine what it's going to cost to get to those brownies at Chase Stadium in Fort Lauderdale if they were to win the Club World Cup? I'll never get the greatest brownies on earth again.
Let's go get some brownies and don't bet your money on this damn game.
Listen, man, don't question me about my guts, Mr. Drink a half gallon of milk. I mean, you literally have bubble guts for the rest of your life. No wonder you have IBS.
Yeah. All day.
Yeah, ingested a little too much milk.
Hawk, you sent us a picture. Cooper Flagg was introduced today, and the Dallas Mavericks hosted the media availability for Cooper Flagg, and they served Whataburger to all of the media who were there today attending the Cooper Flagg press conference.
And, you know, the little table flags that's got the number so they know where to bring it. They were all number 32 for Cooper Flagg. Brilliant. The Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp are doing a promotion regarding Whataburger tonight. You know I love my Jumbo Shrimp because, you know, there's a Whataburger in, is there one in Jacksonville? I know there's one in Tallahassee. I guess there must be, right?
There's one in Gainesville. I know that.
There is?
Yeah. Hey,
opening three of them in Tampa.
Do teams feed the media to try to suck up to them?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who started that. I love it, though. I think that is probably it. Like, they're, for whatever reason, they're obligated to feed the media at big media events. I love it.
Yeah, it's weird to me. It just seems like a waste of money. Eat at home and come to work. You're working.
The Jumbo Shrimp, Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, this Saturday at ViStar Ballpark. Get ready to bring home the W. Win or lose, you'll score free Whataburger just for showing up and showing love. How about that? Because you know what happens. You know, Mervis is on the DL. So you gotta get people into the ballpark. Nobody wants to come out to a jumbo shrimp game until Mervis is back. So you gotta offer free Whataburger.
You follow the jumbo shrimp daily.
Really, that's is crazy. Ridiculous. Len, I read a text we got from Len yesterday that said, if I just fell off the moon and landed on this planet and heard the way that you talk about Matt Mervis, I would think he's the next coming of Babe Ruth.
It's crazy.
Which he could have been if they didn't shadow ban him.
Shadow ban, that's right.
Yeah, shadow ban. Yeah, shadow ban.
By organization.
That's right.
Hawk, I don't know if people are ready for this conversation, but Matt Mervis, better at baseball than Babe Ruth, right?
It's possible. You'll never know. Shadow ban.
Y'all look crazy.
Mervis Militia, Eichen Bros, Inter Miami to win the Club World Cup. I own all those.
Did y'all talk about me like Ray Lewis? Because it's about the same thing you're doing right now.
No, because we knew what you were capable of. You weren't shadow banned.
I'm better at football than Matt Mervis is at baseball.
Mervis got shadow banned. You'll never know. Shadow banned.
But they don't want him to play. Nowhere.
Well, it's a gray area. Shadow banned.
Shadow banned. It's a great argument approach. You just find a word and just keep saying it. I do it.
Somebody says, Solana, aren't you supposed to be in a tournament? So Solana had told us he's leaving early Thursday and Friday to be in a pickleball tournament this week. And I noticed yesterday, very interesting to me, I didn't see any of his pickleball tournament picks. And he loves posting picks where he's holding up a medal or a ribbon or a something. And then he texts us this morning, hey, I won't be leaving early. And I put two and two together. This guy had an early exit from a pickleball tournament that he thought he was a certainty to be in the finals. So he took 2 days off because he was so certain that he was the most elite talent in this pickleball tournament that there was no chance he wouldn't be there on Friday. And the walk of shame this morning was a text of shame. He didn't acknowledge it was pickleball, but I read between the lines. Oh, yeah. I won't be leaving early today. I'm like, oh, interesting. No podium shots, huh? How bad were you yesterday?
Get your shots in now before I tell you what really happened. But go ahead, get your shots in. Go ahead.
Let me get an injury. You sustained an injury.
Those two retired nurses. Whoop.
None of the other competitors can play tonight because it's the Sabbath. It's tomorrow, by the way. I was just making it up.
Yesterday was the singles tournament. Today would have been the 4.0 mixed doubles tournament, but not enough teams signed up. What happened. So today's tournament, 4.0 mixed doubles, was canceled. There's only two teams outside of me and my partner's team that signed up at this level. So they had to cancel the tournament. I will be out there tomorrow playing 4.0 men's doubles.
So this league that you keep raving about how well you finish in has two teams?
No. There are different divisions. But you guys are laughing like you think you're doing something, but you're literally not doing anything. Solana, you're not doing anything.
You're biting medals and you're playing the same four people weekend.
I'm not, but that first of all, that was last month's tournament. This month's tournament is a totally different tournament.
Well, what happened in the singles tournament yesterday? How'd you finish?
I went 2-3. I went 2-3. Actually, the guy who won, no joke, the guy who won, his name is David. He beat me 11-8. He is a massive fan of the show. So shout out to him. I did find it a little disrespectful that he told me that after he kicked my ass and then asked me to take a selfie with him as I was genuinely upset that he beat me.
You didn't get a podium spot.
I did not. Yeah, it was not my best outing. Probably because I scarfed down a Korean hot dog.
Yeah, yeah, Korean hot dog on the show like 4 minutes before he left for a pickleball tournament.
Top athletes, they always train.
Listen, at least I didn't pee myself throughout the entire contest, Crowder.
They always train.
You may have finished higher.
Yeah. Oh, Solana, you good at pickleball? 2 and 3 is not impressive, and you're playing old people. Well,
he's good in this league of four people.
I'm not playing old people, and this isn't a league of four people. David? I don't know, probably in his young 30s, early 30s, or late 20s.
David's 58 years old.
Hey, that's not that old.
Bro, I'm a 4.0 in pickleball. Like, I'm a 4.1. That's elite.
No one knows what that means. No one knows what that means.
You don't, because you don't
nobody,
know what pickleball is.
No one in the world. Nobody knows what 4.0 in a league and the singles and the mans and the doubles co-ed. No.
4.0 is an elite level of pickleball. That's fine. You don't have to believe me. That's fine. I know. No. I know. Pickleball is out there. No.
Two and three.
We know, of course, everyone in that tournament is only playing singles. Nobody in that tournament has a friend or a significant other. All right, anything else? Because I do want to get to the Randy Moeller segment.
Yeah, I had Cooper Flagg's Mount Rushmore of NBA players and WNBA players. I'm hesitant to read the latter, but the former is interesting.
I saw it. Yeah.
The former Larry Bird, the NBA, Cooper Flagg's Mount Rushmore of NBA players, Larry Bird, which is genius by him to say that first, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Kobe Bryant.
All right.
Great list.
WNBA. And remember, we're crunched on time here. Candace Parker, Brittany Griner, Asia Wilson, and Caitlin Clark.
Goddamn right. And I take issue with it because her name should be mentioned first.
They're cousins.
If there's anyone who has a WNBA Mount Rushmore that doesn't have Caitlin Clark on it, they are being disingenuous.
Nope. Maya Moore, Rebecca Lobo, Lisa Leslie. God, come on, man.
Nope.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Fee, what's her name? I don't want to call her wrong name because y'all are tight. Fee Collier? Y'all are cousins.
Joquan! Joquan!
Joquan.
Your weather is looking good.
Like the Key and Peele substitute sketch.
Jake Quellen. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. It's like 85 degrees and very cloudy in South Florida. A couple, some rain expected across the region. That is your weather.
All right. In the next segment, Randy Moeller. So he was on with us a few years ago and told us tonight's the NHL draft. And Moeller told us his story of being drafted in the first round and what it was like from a kid from a very small town. And we're going to play that for you. It's a great opportunity to play what I consider to be a really fun segment with Randy Moeller and hearing his draft stories. We love doing those with the NFL draft, but this is a great NHL draft story. So we'll do that in the next segment. So don't go anywhere.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
Cooper Flagg is white. Jimmy's got a Freestyle Friday working here. Took me 2.5 hours to realize it, but he's got a Freestyle Friday working here, and I like it.
I like it.
We're going to have a NHL draft special on this radio station tonight, so make sure you're listening for that. Again, Panthers don't have a pick tonight. They don't pick till the fourth round. So the NHL draft is tonight, and we had Randy Moeller in studio with us. Do you recall when this was?
Just like years ago.
5 years ago?
Yeah. It had to be
probably longer. It was probably before COVID, right? So
No. No, this was like 2022.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah.
We had him in studio because he was doing the Panthers draft show that night.
Correct.
So he was at the station. We brought him in the studio, and part of the conversation revolved around his NHL draft story. We had never done one with a hockey player before. And Moeller, obviously, an entertaining guest, and has a gift for storytelling. And so here it is from a few years ago, Randy Moeller and his NHL draft night story. Do me a favor here, because you know on this show we love the human interest and the silly side of stuff. And when it comes to the NFL draft, we always have people tell their draft stories. And we've had it from you before. But tell us, because Moeller, you went in the first round of the NHL draft, right? The Quebec Nordiques.
Yeah,
you don't even exist anymore.
Oh, it took me 7 years to ruin that franchise.
Well, what year did you go in the NHL draft?
81. The draft was in Montreal. This was before it was televised.
Right.
It wasn't even on radio. My agent at the time, I knew I was going to be drafted in the first round.
Did you play college, or were you
junior hockey in Western
junior
Canada?
Hockey.
Yeah. And so my agent flew me out to the draft, and I met with a couple of teams the night before. It was all done in one day. And then the draft would start at like 8 o'clock in the morning. So
no pomp and circumstance.
No. And the stories that I like to tell, because I was young and very naive and coming right off the turnip truck out in Western Canada, fell off that a few times, is my agent, after I did the meetings, took us out. There's a bunch of clients that he had that we were all getting drafted. We went out to a fancy steak dinner, and everybody ordered Caesar salad. I'd never had Caesar salad before, so I ordered, told the lady, can I get that with Thousand Island dressing, please? So that was number one.
But in all honesty, for people who don't know, you grew up in Red Deer, yeah. Alberta,
yeah.
Which is a tiny little town.
Yes, yeah. Caesar salad, I never had Caesar salad before. I never heard of it before.
It was just salad. If you were getting a salad, it was salad.
I've really never been to a steakhouse before. You know, a fancy sit-down white linen.
My guess is, Solana, like you were, you know, when you talk about like central casting for like hockey. My guess is you lived, eat,
everything.
Breathe. Hockey. It's what you knew. It's all you did.
It's 40 below zero for 7 months in my hometown.
That's
so that's all you do. So the next day, we're sitting up in the stands, and I'm so nervous, and before the draft starts, one of my heroes growing up, I could watch him on Hockey Night in Canada. We only had two channels, and Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday night was Larry Robinson, the big defenseman for the Montreal Canadiens. Great Hall of Fame defenseman. I see him. And he goes down, and I got to go to the bathroom. So I go down and come out of the stands, go into the VOM, and that I follow him in. And we're both standing at the urinals or whatever. And I was so nervous, whatever. He kind of looked over at me, and while we were standing at the urinals, and I stuck out my hand to shake his hand. I wanted to meet him or whatever. And he kind of
recoiled a little bit
and shook my hand or whatever. So that was number two. Number three, after the first round in Montreal, they break. And when you're drafted by that team, you come down out of the stands, you meet everybody at the table, and you sit at the table. After the first round, they break for lunch. In the old Montreal Forum, they had a fancy restaurant. All the teams have tables up there as well, or whatever, most of them, and you go for lunch. And I'm with the Quebec Nordiques, and I just get drafted or whatever, and I'm meeting everybody. I get invited to go for lunch. We go up there, and they've already served the soup. And it is tomato macaroni soup, which is very popular up in Quebec. Tomato macaroni suit, and I'm in this tweed jacket with a tweed tie, and I go to sit down. We're all now sitting down. I go to sit down, and I'm looking up, and about 3 inches of the bottom of my tie go right into the tomato soup. Oh yeah, and it's right in there. And I look, and I notice, and everybody's still kind of talking and finding their seats or whatever. So I slowly take it out, and it's dripping, and I rinse it. I rinse the thing right into the soup like that, and now with my white dress shirt, and then I tucked it my tie. I tucked it as far as I could into my pants underneath or whatever. Well, it looked like I got shot in the belly. So I sat there the whole time, and I was right up against the table so nobody could see this or whatever.
They're thinking, our guy's defective. He's
and that
he's
and now, in the mid-section. Now all buddies of mine that played in Western Canada in the Western Junior Hockey League, whatever, we all get drafted, and there was a number of us that were represented by this one agent, Billy Waters. And so after we got drafted, the second round started, whatever, and we've got flights going back to Edmonton and Calgary on Air Canada out of Montreal that were leaving at about 6 o'clock at night. Well, we decided we were going to go downtown Montreal, never been there or whatever, to a place that they call Crescent Street. All it is bars and everything, and we're going to celebrate. And drinking age is 18 up there, and that we're 18, and that so we go down there, and we got carried away, and there were six of us, whatever, and we all missed our flights. we missed our flights, and that so we had to take red eyes home, and you should have seen the look on my parents' face when I had to tell them that we missed the flight because I was sitting in a bar. And had to take the red eye home. They got back at 5:30 in the morning back out in Western Canada. So that was my draft day's experience.
It's an unbelievable story.
It's a great draft day.
I find it, I always find it funny because you do hear this about, you know, sometimes NBA stars, even Giannis Antetokounmpo, who really, you know, comes from Greece and hadn't experienced a lot of the largesse that professional athletes will experience. But I find it funny that, you know, a lot of kids go from kind of this really myopic view of the world, right? Your view was hockey. That was it. And you were playing for fun. Yeah. I mean, it was fun for you. And then all of a sudden, you're thrown into this world where even in the 80s, it's still a business. And now you're going to have more money than you've ever had. Not that it was comparable to what the kids are getting nowadays.
Oh.
But it's like, I mean, your life, I'm guessing, turns on a 180.
Well, and not only that, Hawk, I was drafted by the Quebec Nordiques where I went back to junior. I went to training camp, signed my contract, and then I knew I was going back to junior, and I played one more year in junior, and then I made as a 19-year-old with the Quebec Nordiques in Quebec City, a beautiful, beautiful city. 97% of the population there don't speak English at that time.
Right.
And here's me that don't speak French and that. But in saying that, though, it was so enjoyable. The French people are so passionate. They knew it's a small town there, and they could pick me out. Can you imagine? 6'3", blonde with hair or whatever. They knew exactly who I was, and they would go out of their way to try and communicate with you and make you feel welcome. And I loved every minute of it and was there for 7 years, and it was a lot of fun. The last story I'll tell very quickly is my first year, we're about 7-8 games in. Our games were broadcast on a station called Quatre Saisons, Four Seasons. And they asked me, they said, Randy, would you like to do an interview? And I would started to take some French lessons very early or whatever. And so I said, yeah, I'm all gung-ho for it. So after the first period, they take me in, put the towel on. I sit down. We do a 4-minute interview all in French. And I answer all the questions. And after I got up or whatever, I was so proud of myself. I go walking into the locker room. At the time, they'd have a couple of TVs there. And my defense partner, Moose DuPont, at the time, he was 34, 35 years old or whatever. And I said, how do you think I did? And he said, we couldn't understand a word you were saying. But I tell you, because I tried.
That was endearing, I'm sure.
And I could do no wrong in Quebec City after that with the French people.
So just explain it to me, because yeah, obviously we don't know hockey the way that you do. You go back to juniors, but everyone knows you're a first-round NHL pick. Are they trying to take you out, or are other players looking to make a name off of you, or are you like royalty? Like you're special.
They wanted to, but back in those days, 300 minutes and penalty minutes. So
you were able to
try.
Hold your own.
You could try.
You were able to hold your own.
Yeah. Spent a lot of time in the sin bin.
Look at that guy.
The sin bin.
Look at that guy over there.
Yeah.
Like a sniper coming in with some hockey terminology. What else do you have for us, Solana? Give us another.
I'm all out of hockey terminology, unfortunately.
Dumped him. After sin bin, that was it. We stumped.
I thought you were going to come with like, I scored bar down.
I mean, a couple of triple deeks, a biscuit, a sin bin, and he is he's spent.
Get Cronwald.
You light the lamp a lot, though, Moeller?
I light the lamp all right.
Put him where the grandma hides her goods.
Wow. What it is? What is it? I mean, it could be lots of things in lots of places.
I mean, the one that brought him to prominence on the Levitard show, I think, where Mrs. Moeller keeps the peanut butter, right? Yeah. Wasn't that what put you on the radar?
Oh, those days were fun, weren't they?
Those days were the best, man.
Yeah.
Those days were the best.
Mama cooked the breakfast without no hog.
I draw ding dongs on people. One of the all-time classic goal calls. I mean, just unbelievable. And so then, for people who don't know, because they hear you on the show, but they may not know your whole history. So after seven seasons in Quebec, you get traded where?
To the Rangers.
And then you play there for how long?
2.5 years.
And how long did you end up at the Panthers? It was just a cup of coffee, right?
Yeah, it ended before it even started. Played 16 games. It was a lockout year, and I was I caught a very unfortunate disease that I had to retire. It was called old age.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's a young sport. The average age of an NHL player is less than 5 years now, right now.
And your career was over a decade.
I played 13 while. I fooled them for 13 years and that. But I was 31 years old, 32, coming up on 32 years old, and I was done.
But we've talked about it before, though. It was unmistakable. You knew it, right? I mean,
yeah.
And I think you had told us the Panthers had even suggested, hey, it may be time to hang
up. Well, the way I describe it was I was a stay-at-home defenseman, and the Panthers told me to stay at home. So
take it to the next level. We like really stay at home. No, I think I'm doing that, coach. I'm back here. No. Really stay at home. Like home.
That's it.
Did you ever imagine you'd be working for the Panthers this long?
No. I'm coming up on 30 years now.
I mean, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, very fortunate.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
The Florida Panthers are back-to-back Stanley Cup champions!